Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I have my own startups and podcasts.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with entrepreneurs and celebrities who tell their stories about their business journey and also share helpful insights about the successes that they've had. Now it's time for our featured guest. Ian Utile is an entrepreneur. He's a tech entrepreneur. And as I mentioned, he's from Silicon Valley, and he's the founder of Attention Live, a Web3 AI innovation company. So I'm kind of curious about what a Web3 AI innovation company is. And this company is protecting content creators' intellectual property. That's a subject near and dear to my heart. Welcome to the show, Ian. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Web3 AI and what that means? That's kind of a new term.
Sure. Well, Web3 is a catch-all term for distributed ledgers, blockchain, crypto. Many people think of it in terms of Bitcoin around money. Businesses often think of it in terms of removing middlemen and supply chain management and how they can get things to go faster. Financial organizations often think of it as tokenizing physical assets into digital means so that you can transfer. So that's kind of the Web3 world. And this allows distributed ledgers that are not controlled by Amazon's AWS or Microsoft's Azure, their cloud servers, but distributed ledgers to support people. So it's technology for the people, by the people. That's kind of the Web3 mentality. And another easy way to think of it is if Web1 was websites, brochures on glass, and Web2 was interactive websites, the Facebooks of the world, the MySpaces of the world, which kind of started things, this is where you can post and interact. Web3 is where you can post, interact, and own. Web3 is a model where the consumer owns their data, the consumer owns their assets, the consumer's in control. So to the element of IP protection for content creators, there's a big problem today for small and large content creators, whether it's an individual podcaster or musician or teacher, or it's a massive university or a huge conglomerate, or it's some sort of, you know, massive institution. They're having trouble with proving ownership. And so part of this is that the terms and conditions of all of the social media sites that we love, the YouTubes of the world, the Facebooks of the world, the Instagrams of the world, the TikToks of the world, their terms are that if you create content in their app and you post it there, they own the content and they simply give the creator a license to use their content. So what we've done is we've allowed people to send their content through our application, which is a traditional software application that anybody would be used to. But we've tied it to the blockchain, to Web3, in order that when the content is distributed, we prove the ownership for that content creator. So that's the first problem that we solve. We also allow the content creator to better connect with their community. We provide lots of automation tools so content creators can automatically make more money from their content. And so we solve a ton of problems. We'd like to think that we've built the world's great content creation tool. And we anticipate having billions of people around the world use it. So when we think of the future of content creation and IP ownership, we think about the 3 billion people in the world that don't have the internet. Many people in the audience may not realize there's 3 billion humans that don't have the internet. They make
I don't know whether that's a blessing or a curse. Yeah. I mean,
well, I'll tell you this. The five of us on this conversation, we've had the advantage of having, you know, the internet introduced to us. And then we had pagers introduced to us. And then we had laptops introduced to us. And then phones introduced to us. And then machine learning, which we call AI, Amazon Alexa had a speaker. And then Siri comes on our phone. And we've had this slow, progressive experience. And then all of a sudden, decentralized finance, Bitcoin's here. So we're learning slowly over time what it means to own the data of our own, what it means to leverage something like large language models or AI. We learn how to use these hardware devices. The 3 billion people that are going to hit the internet, they're not going to have to learn any of that. They're going to have a pair of glasses sent to them. They're going to have a watch sent to them. They're going to have a ring sent to them. And that device will be connected to the internet. And they'll simply talk to their ring in their own native language in the jungle. And that ring will be able to decipher what they're saying into a common language and then speak back to them in their language. And now all these people that have come online, they're going to say, okay, what can I do with my life now that I'm connected to the world to do better than $2 a day? And some of the things that they'll be able to do is give their attention. Our company's called Attention Live. So I envision a world where people give their attention live to content creators and are compensated for that attention, because attention is so valuable.
You know what? It's almost like they're going from the 1960s to Star Trek.
Yeah.
The way you describe it, right? Like Star Trek, the Next Generation even, right?
It'll be interesting to see how they would cope, though, with such a huge change, right?
Right.
I mean, that would be, like you said, we have had sort of a warm-up into technology, right? And now all of a sudden it's just on you.
That's the problem. So my understanding of Web 3 when it first came out, my very rudimentary understanding, was that you would get paid for what the marketing agencies just are taking now, or for what they're just taking now. And you would actually get paid for them. So if they say, okay, she's a female in New Jersey who has cats or whatever, then they have to pay me for using that. Is that kind of how it started?
That and so much more. Because it's the internet for the people by the people, because it's the tech for the people will decide how they leverage it. And I think this is the important aspect. Another thing that I want to share with the listeners is there's a reason why I love radio. I've been doing radio interviews for a couple of decades, and I continue to, and there's a reason for it. I don't believe that the future of digital engagement is visual. I think TikTok and YouTube stories and Instagram reels have an end in terms of their dominance. The future is audio. And the reason for that, number one, bandwidth. No matter how fast Starlink is, and no matter if the internet bandwidth is free for people in the jungle, there's still a bandwidth issue. And so the ability to have video come to somebody and video to go back up to the internet, there's a problem in terms of infrastructure costs. So that's a big deal. The second thing is content creators don't always want to be seen, right? Behind me is the Pacific Ocean. I have the grace of living on the sand in California. Now I'm on a balcony, so you can't see people's faces, but if I wasn't like high and away from people, you know, I'd be worried like, well, who's back there? What are they doing? Is it okay that they're on my video? And so as a content creator, I'm not just concerned about me and how I look, but I'm also concerned about other people behind me. And most importantly, it is so demanding to watch videos. How many of us go to a YouTube video, set our phone down, and listen to it? How many of us put on a YouTube video on the TV, turn the volume up, and don't look at it? Why? Because we don't want, exactly, we don't want the content creator or the platform to demand our 100% undivided attention. We want to give our passive attention when we learn.
You're right. You can listen in the car. You can listen while you're doing other things. I wanted to ask you, Ian, as a technology guy who's like obviously devoted his life to technology, do you ever have reservations about that? Do you ever worry that maybe you're helping to push the world in the wrong direction? Maybe we should be relying less on technology.
I think the world worries enough, and I don't need to participate in the anxiety and stress. I think a lot of our concern is stemmed from media. So I think Terminators, Blade Runner, Altered Carbon, Electric Dreams, all the things out there that have basically built this narrative that technology is going to hurt humanity, it's going to harm humanity, it's going to wipe humanity out. It's much easier to create media that causes anxiety and fear, because that's how you get people to hit on the next show, on the next season, and wait for the next movie. That's how you get them to stay into the book, because the thrill has got their heart, and their heart is pounding. What's going to happen? What we don't see a lot of today are Jetsons and Star Trek's anti-dystopic view of society. Now, I don't think anybody that's reasonable believes in utopia, but I am an anti-dystopic person. So I like the idea of Jetsons. I like the idea of families still being together and being in community and being connected with other humans, but having technology giving us flying cars and easy, quick meals and all the fun things. When you look at Star Trek, what's the premise of Star Trek? That there's not a universal basic income. No, there's a universal maximum income. Everyone has all of their needs and more covered. And so what do the humans do? Well, they have all their needs covered, so they want to go explore the universe. And Captain Kirk wants to be in charge, and the bartender wants to make drinks. Kirk is not better than the bartender. They both are making the decision that I want to go to space. One guy says, I want to take the responsibility of leadership. And the other girl says, I want to make drinks and make people happy up there. And so why does that happen? Because on Earth in this story, there's a universal maximum income where everyone's needs are already taken care of, and therefore you go out to explore the heavens. And this is the type of mentality I want to maintain. Nothing new happens in the world. We repeat the same cycles generation after generation for millennia after millennia. And because humanity's never destroyed themselves up to this point, I have no reason to logically or practically believe that we're going to do anything that would cause our destruction. The things we create will ultimately benefit humanity.
I don't think we should be so optimistic. I think we should have careful optimism. But I mean, Bill Gates just came out the other day and said AI could ruin us all in 10 years. To me, that's something that we need to be concerned about.
The coulds are real. A lot of people listening probably have some sort of faith orientation, whether they believe it or not. Maybe they grew up with it. It's pretty well known that in the sacred scriptures, how does the earth start? Creator of all things uses their voice to say, let there be light. Okay. And then you look throughout history. We look to great spiritual leaders, Muhammad and Buddha and Jesus. How did Jesus heal people? He said, Lazarus, come out of the grave. Stand up and walk. There's something so powerful about our words. Our words destroy and build up. Our words are death and our words are life. So I choose to protect the words that I personally say, because it affects my life, it affects my family's life, it affects my businesses, it affects how I approach business deals. So I will continue to be the happiest person as destruction comes. That is the outcome, because I choose to use the weapon of my voice to speak forth the things that I want to manifest in the world.
Ian Utile, tech entrepreneur from the Silicon Valley.
I'm going to give you this lead in. When I was growing up, we had a cat named Kiki, but Kiki was nothing like your Kiki.
I'm glad that you brought that up. So Kiki is a emerging multi-billion dollar IP universe. Kiki is the most viral cat in the world. It has been shared 12 billion times on the internet. So this show is called Passage to Profit. So let me share a quick story that will hopefully encourage your audience to think about what it takes to be successful. Kiki was the mascot of an e-commerce business. That e-commerce business in Asia did $100 million a year. Wildly successful e-commerce business. Well, the business folded during the pandemic, and that's one of the risks of entrepreneurship. You could fail. But the mascot took off, and the mascot went crazy and became this most famous cat, at least in Asia. And all of you, all four of you, and many of the audience have used the cat. So if you ever tried to share a cute little cat with a white background, that was probably the Kiki cat. We acquired the IP. We thought about what can be done with it. We just launched the first of 15 video games, working on comic books, working on movies. We have major merchandising licensing deals with K-pop bands, and we have collectible deals that we're doing. We also, in addition to all that, we have a bunch of stuff with digital assets. And we have two fast food restaurants that we also are working with. So we have a fast food restaurant licensing deal in Europe and a different one in Asia. So we are building a massive IP universe. My friend and mentor bought the Batman franchise, and it took him 10 years to make the first movie with Tim Burton, Michael Keaton, and Jack Nicholson. For 10 years, he suffered. He suffered through rejection after rejection after rejection. He owned the licensing, and everybody thought Batman was a joke because they thought of the TV show, pow, whack, wham. And so Batman was a joke. And he took that and he said, I have a vision for the Dark Knight. I think Bruce Wayne is the story to tell. It's not about Batman. It's about this tormented man, Bruce Wayne. That's what humans will connect with. Well, in the same way, we look at the Kiki IP and we say, how do we take this to the next level? How do we apply the principles that Michael Uslan used in Batman's development? And how do we apply that here? And so what we did was we launched all these things. We also launched a tokenized community. And on the day one, we launched the tokenized community, the market cap went to $10 million. What a moment, right? We took something that didn't exist and we created $10 million of perceived value. And then the same day, it went down to $1 million. Oh no, we failed. Everything's falling apart. Like, that's the intensity of entrepreneurship. Then later on that week, in day six, we hit $100 million. And then we've gone through all sorts of cycles of experience in that process. And today, we have a very streamlined team with a very clear mission, and we know exactly where we're going and how we're going to get there. And nothing will stop us. We are obsessed with the end result. We think about it. We talk about it. That is the prize that we're going after.
Ian Utile, tech entrepreneur from the Silicon Valley. You're listening to Passage to Profit, everybody, with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart. And we'll be back right after this message.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment.
800-980-1761. 800-980-1761. 800-980-1761. That's 800-980-1761.
Are you running a small business with two or more employees struggling to find affordable health insurance? Well, help is just a call away. Whether you're a restaurant owner, retail store manager, or a gig worker with staff, we've got you covered. Get quality health insurance plans starting as low as $120 a month. Our custom comparison tool finds plans tailored specifically to your business. We know it can be tough to find the right coverage. That's why we're here, to make the process seamless and stress-free. Our plans include health, vision, and dental coverage, all at unbeatable rates. Call the Small Business Health Insurance Hotline now. We'll compare top providers to get you the best deal in one quick phone call. Don't wait. Secure the benefits you and your employees deserve today. Call now. Rates may vary based on location and coverage options. 802-491-2084. 802-491-2084. 802-491-2084. That's 802-491-2084.
Now back to Passage to Profit. Once again, Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
With 10X co-founder Ian Utile. Elizabeth, you had a question.
We were talking about Kiki before the break, and Kiki started as this little cat character, and now Kiki has been blown into a number of different things, and you have a vision where you want the whole Kiki universe to go.
Well, we see Kiki expanding well beyond Asia. To keep it very simple, if you are on your cell phone or you're on social media and you want to share a GIF or a GIF, the GIF, the moving image, right, and you pull it up, the Kiki cat is one of the top things that's there at all times. If you ever typed in a word like happy, sad, excited, angry, then most likely one of the Kiki cat images will pop up as an example.
It's an emoji?
It's an emoji. So people love this emoji so much that they've shared it 12 billion times. But much like Batman had expressions through lots of comic books and lots of TV shows, that's not Batman. That's just expressions of Batman. And so Kiki is the core intellectual property that we own. There's been lots of expressions of Kiki that people have loved, and now we're creating new expressions through video games and through all sorts of ways that people can connect with it.
So do you have trademarks or registered copyrights?
Yeah. So we own it outright. We paid $1 million to acquire the intellectual property, which shows our initial commitment. We raised millions of dollars for the project. And the first thing that we did was we launched a tokenized community, or many people would know this as a meme coin, right? Many people are familiar with Doge, Shiba Inu, or Pepe, or these different meme coins. And on the IP front, let me say this. There have been three major meme coins that have come under IP lawsuits. Pepe grew to almost a $10 billion market cap. It turns out the people that launched it don't own the Pepe, and they had no connection to the owner. There's another one called Chill Guy. Again, independent people launched with somebody else's IP. They did not own it, and they launched it. And then finally, the squirrel, Peanut the Squirrel, the story of the man that had the government come in and kill his squirrel. Somebody launched the Peanut the Squirrel meme coin, and they did not have any connection to the owner. So all three of those tokenized communities blew up to $1 billion value. Think of it as, you know, a collectible, but it's kind of like a stock. I mean, however you want to imagine it. Now under lawsuit and being said they have to take everything down.
But you own it, right? You own Kiki.
We own it outright.
If somebody wants to get into Kiki, is there a way for them to do that?
Yeah, I would have them go to kikicat.xyz. That's Kiki Cat. KIKI.xyz, or just go to X, formerly Twitter, or any social media site, type in KIKI, and you'll see all of our stuff.
So how can people find out more about you and your projects?
IanUtile. That's Ian Utile. So I'm at Ian Utile everywhere on the internet.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. And we really appreciate your perspective. And we wish you the best of luck with Kiki and authenticating footage and everything else. So
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 38 markets across the United States. In addition, Passage to Profit has also been recently selected by FeedSpot Podcasters Database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinator Alicia Morrissey, and our studio assistant Rissikat Busari. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.